Daf Tes. Rabbi Elazar said, after the Nisuin, a man had performed his Bia Rishayna on his wife, whom he thought was a Besula. And he found a Pesach Pasuach, he found an opening, meaning that he found no Besulam. That would imply that maybe she was Mizana. So he is believed to Aser his wife on himself, and therefore he cannot live with her. According to Rashi, he's only believed Lagabi himself to Aser her on him, since we say Shabya Nafshe Chaticha L'Isura, but he can't put a bad name on her, to cause her to lose her Ksuva money, or to make her Aser to a Kain, according to the Pnei Yeshua. According to the Taisvis, she will also lose her Ksuva money. We said that she becomes Aser. The question is, why should she become Aser? It's a Sfek Sfeika. Number one, did this Nus happen before he did Erisin or after he did Erisin? And number two, even if it happened after Erisin, it's a Suffolk if it was Ba'inus or if it was Baratzim. And if it was Ba'inus, then she would be Mutter to her husband. So we have a situation of Sfek Sfeika. And for the Gemara, either she was an Eishes Kayin, who is Aser even Ba'inus, or she was Makudish below the age of three. So she definitely lost her Besulim after the Erisin. Because if they're lost before the age of three, then they would go back. Therefore, it's only a suffix of tachtav, and it's only one suffix. The Shita Mukubetzes asks, how can we be matter her with a svek sveka? We know that suffix tuma bershus hayachid is tame, no matter how many svekas there are. As we learned from a saita, that a suffix that happens in a private area, bershus hayachid, that's considered a suffix that we don't call a suffix, and therefore would be usser, and we don't take into account svek sveka. And since here it involves bia, that's always considered bershus hayachid, because it happens privately. The Shav Shmaitze answers that the Chumrah of Safik Bershus Hayachid would not apply here, since we're not even sure where this Nus took place. Therefore, the Kula of Sfek Sveika should be Mater over here. Reb Chaim tells her answers that the only time we say Safik Tuma Bershus Hayachid is Tameh is if the Safik is in the Nisen Tuma. For example, is this carrier of the Tuma a Sheretz or not? However, if the Safik is in the Mekabel Tuma, then we don't apply this Halacha. For example, was this piece of meat mukhshal lekabel tuma or not? We know that for something to be mukhshal lekabel tuma, to be prepared to receive tuma, it has to have been touched by the seven mashkais, and we don't know that. So here too, the suffix isn't on the man, but the suffix is on the woman if she, as a mekabel, is mukhshal to be mekabel this tuma, i.e. was she married to him when this nus took place, or was she not married to him? Therefore, the whole question about suffix b'shus hayachid would not apply. And therefore, there is a possibility to say that it might be a svek sveka. And the Gemara asks, how can the husband aser his wife on himself with his own edus? We know that there must be a warning from Edom first, i.e. you need kinu yustira. The Gemara answers, this edus of his own experience is equal to having two Edom. The Gemara says, everyone who went out to war for David HaMelech would give his wife a get bitnai, and in case he died, she would become a grusha l'mafreya from the day that the shtar was written. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that if a man says Pesach Pasuach, he should be believed so as not to pay her ksuva money. And Taisvis asks, why should we believe him? Does a svek sveka on him? Number one, it's a suffik if he's a baki in Pesach Pasuach or not. And number two, even if he is a baki, it's a suffik if this nus was ba'inus of Aratzen. Therefore, she shouldn't lose her ksuva money. The Shav Shmaitze brings a raya from here that one can use a svek sveka to be mitzi mamon. He also learns that since a Svek Sveika here is stronger than Cheskas Mammon, all over Shas, a Svek Sveika is stronger than a Chazaka. Daf Yud. Since the Chachamim were misakin that a Besula gets a Ksuva worth 200 Zuzim, but if she's an Almana, she gets 100 Zuz, the Chachamim also had the power to believe the husband if he says Pesach Pasuach, and she'll lose the Ksuva. And no one will stam come and just say Pesach Pasuach out of the middle of nowhere, since we say Ein Adam Tarech Besuda Umafsida. No one would go to the trouble of having a whole wedding, and then right after that go and lie and say Pesach Pasuach. The Gemara says, since Ksuva is Mirabana, when the woman comes to collect her Ksuva money, she can only collect from the Ziburius, from the lowest quality of the land that he owns, not the higher quality. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that Ksuva is Minatera. This question is debated amongst the Rishayim, if the Shtar Ksuva is Mirabanan or Miraraisa, and if the Kesef paid is Miraraisa or Mirabanan. People from the Mishpachas Durkiti did not have Dam Nida or Dam Besulam, but in general, blood is good for a woman, because the more she has, the easier it is for her to have children. The Mishnah. A Besulas Ksuva is 200. It's Machlokes Rishayim if this is pure silver or not, but an Almana gets 100. And the Gemara says, the name Almana, which was given to a woman who lost her husband, she was called an Amana because afterwards, if she remarries, her ksuba is mana. This was taught in the city of Baghdad. The Gemara says that rainwater helps the ground and refreshes the fruits so they grow better. The Mizbeach removes Averis, brings Kaparis, helps to feed us, and brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dates helps to strengthen a person and acts as a laxative. And finally, the Gemara says a person who drinks a reviyus of yayin should not pass on shilas since it's intoxicating. Daf Yud Aleph. A giyaris, a captive woman, or a shivcha, all of whom are especially suspect of znus, and then they were freed. If they were under 3 years old, their ksuva are 200 zuzim, but the husband can have tainus besulim. And the Gemara says, a young child who is a guy who has no father, and his mother brings him to Bezdin, the Bezdin can be tivalim in order to make him into a Jew, even though he has no das, since we say, zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav, and becoming a Jew is seemingly a zchus, if he's a katan. However, for a gadol, it's a disadvantage to become a Jew, since now he won't be able to live with anyone he wants to. In other words, there's no promiscuity for him once he's a gadol. Tosfos explains that the conceptual underpinnings of this rule of zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav, which we talk about here for a katan, is that the person doing the act is considered the shliach agent of the one for whom he is doing it for. Tosfos therefore questions its validity in our case, where it's being performed on behalf of a katan, because the Gemara in Bava Metzia states that the concept of shlichus does not apply to a katan. This being so, the question is, how can Bezdin act this way and make a katan into a Jew and create a conversion when the katan is a katan? Not allowed to do that. You can't do that because you can't have shlichus for a katan. Tosfos answers that this conversion has no halachic standing in the Torah, but is only mitar rabbanan. Tosfos in Sanhedrin, however, says that in the case of a conversion, the principle of zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav can even apply to a katan. Tosfos' explanation is clarified by Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Zechorin Levracha, in the following manner. Conversion is not an act affected by the convert, with Bezdin acting as an overseer. Rather, Bezdin themselves are considered to be performing the act of conversion upon the ger. As long as Bezdin has secured the guy's permission to convert him, they may perform the conversion without his active participation. Thus, in the case of a katan, there is no necessity for Bezdin to serve as a shliach. The rule of zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav enables us to presume that the katan wants it, because the act is beneficial to him. Therefore, Bezdin can perform this conversion, and it wouldn't just be midrabbanan, but it would rather be valid midaraisa. Most Rishayim hold that only a mother needs das Bezdin to convert a katan, but a father can do it by himself even without das Bezdin. The Ritva holds that even a father needs das Bezdin. According to the Tosfos Rid, if a child was found abandoned, Bezdin can convert him even without the das of the unknown parents. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yosef, if after this katan becomes a gadol, he can protest his conversion and go back to being a guy. But he can only do this in the first moments when he becomes a gadol, not later. There's a machlokes if a ger katan who is nisgayer via a Bezdin becomes a ger midina d'araisa or midina d'rabanan. The next Mishnah. A gadol who is over the age of 9, who is ba'ila katana, under the age of age 3, and we consider a gadol vis-a-vis bi'ila as over the age of 9. The bia is not considered a real bia, since the besulim grow back, or a boy under the age of age 9 who is ba'ila gadila, or a woman who lost her besulim through an accident, a mukas eitz, her ksuva, according to Rameir, is masayim, since she's really like a regular besula. The chachamim say she only gets 100, since b'metzias she has no besulim, so it doesn't matter what maybe was or what the situation was, the fact that she doesn't have besulim, therefore she gets only 100. Also, a woman who had chuppah but never had bia, so she's still a besula, and then her husband died or divorced her, in her second marriage she gets only 100 zuzim, since although she's really still a besula, but the fact that she's b'cheskes pe'ula. However, the husband number 2 cannot claim tainus besulim on her. And the Gemara says, the only machlokes by mukas eitz in the Mishnah is that the husband knew she was a mukas eitz, but if he wasn't aware of this when they got married, she gets nothing, since it was considered a mekach tos. I think Gemara asks, what if she says the reason I have no besulim is because I'm a mukas eitz, and he tainus because she had to be with somebody else, it's because of drusas adam. So according to Rabbi Lazar ben Gamliel Rameir, she is believed, since she's a becheskes besula, but according to the Rabbanan, she's not believed. The Gemara says, once a woman is married, even if there are edim that clearly taina she never had yichud with her husband, she's still considered becheskes abu'ula, and she will only get 100 zuz in the second marriage. Daf Yud Beis. In Yehuda, there was a minig for a chassan to eat by his father-in-law's house after the erusin. If this happened, and after the nesuin he wants to claim she wasn't a besula, he can't, since he was nisyachirima by his father-in-law. So that's a proof that they may have gotten together. And the Gemara says, in Yehuda, they used to allow the chassan to have yichud with the kala for an hour before the chuppah, so yehei li by gaspa, so she'll be more attractive to him. In Gaul, they didn't do this. Also in Yehuda, after erusin, there was a form of yichud with the shushvin, with the helpers. In Gaul, they didn't have this either. The next Mishnah. Both an almana, who is a bas Yisrael, or a bas Kayin, get only 100 zuz in marriage number 2, since an almana is an almana. However, while a regular besula gets 200 zuzim, a besula bas kayin used to get 400 zuzim, as directed by the bezdin kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lei michu lehem chachamim, the Mishnah says. They were allowed to do that. And the Gemara says, for a while they raised almana bas kayin to 200 zuzim, but switched back to 100 since people didn't want to marry them due to the high price. Not only were kohanim allowed to raise ksuvas besula to 400 zuzim, but chasheva families in Klal Yisrael were allowed to be masakin this minig as well. The Beis Shmuel paskins, any group in Klal Yisrael, has the right to do this if they want to. The next Mishnah. A man married a woman and doesn't find a besula. She claims it happened after Erisin, so it's nistach ba sadehu, so it's like you bought a field and it got flooded. So it's your bad luck, and the problem is yours, i.e. I was already in your reshus when I lost my besulim, so you can't come and claim mekachtos, because I belong to you already when it happened. But he says it happened before Erisin, and therefore it's a mekachtos. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel say that she is believed, since she is a bari, and he is a shema. So we say bari v'shema, bari adif, and she gets the full value of the ksuba. But Rabbi Yeshua says she isn't believed, since she's a becheskas ba'ula, and she wants to take money away from him, therefore the burden of proof lies with her. So we say hamaitzi mechavero all of haraya, so she doesn't get the ksuba money. Taisus brings a raya from here that the chiyav ksuba is chal from the shas erison, not later by the shas nesuin. And the Gemara says, if Reuven says you owe me $100, and Shimon says I'm not sure if I owe you the money or not, so according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna, we say that Shimon must pay Reuven because we say bari v'shema bari adif. But according to Reb Nachman or Reb Yechanan, he's potter since we say ha'maitzi mechavero olav haraya uki m'mayna b'cheskas mari. We keep the money where the owner has it, so he's the one that has to be maitzi from his friend. Therefore, he has to bring a raya. Otherwise, the other one is potter. Taisus says that the only time we say the machlokes of bari v'shema bari adif is if the shema is unsure if there was even a loan at all. But if the shema remembers that there was a loan but just isn't sure if he paid the money back or not, so then there's at least a cheskas chiyuv. So a bari plus a cheskas chiyav is so strong that everyone would agree that bari v'shema, bari adif. The Pnei Yeshua asks a famous kasha. According to the Mandi Yomar holds, bari v'shema, bari adif, so why by Hashavas Aveda do we say that the loser, the person who lost the item, must bring simanim that it belongs to him before the finder is mechuyav to return it to him? Let's just say bari v'shema, bari adif. The loser, the person who lost the item, is sure that the item is his. The person who found the item is not sure who it belongs to. And let the finder simply give the item back without simanim. Just say, bari v'shema bari adif. Pnei Yeshua answers, by Aveda we don't say this, since this bari isn't just fighting a shema, but he's fighting roiv ha'olam, because the item could have been lost by anyone. Therefore, we don't say bari v'shema bari adif. Many of the achrayim have an issue with this teretz. According to Rabban Gamliel, another reason the woman is believed is because she has a migu. She could have said she's a mukaseitz. That's a better claim. There's a famous hakira about migu. If the reason that we believe the person who has a migu is because it's a birur that he's telling the truth, or is he believed because it's a zchus hataina, that the namanus of the other taina is put onto this one. Daf Yud Gimel, the Mishnah. If she says, I don't have besulim because I'm a mukaseitz, and he says she had beer with someone else, that's why she doesn't have the besulim. The Ezra and Rabban Gamliel say she's believed, since it's a chazaka that Benois Yisrael are not mezana, so she gets the full ksuba. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, she isn't believed, since we say Amaitzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. And the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yechanan, the machlekes is if she gets 200 or 100. According to Rabbi Lazar, the machlekes is if she gets 100 or nothing. The next Mishnah. If people saw an unmarried woman have yichud with someone, and she answers that he was a Yisrael kosher, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, she's believed, so she'll be mutter to marry kohanim. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, she is not believed, and she could have had yichud with a mamzer, which would make her usher to a kohen. Therefore, she cannot marry a kohen. And the Gemara says, what does the Mishnah mean when they say they saw her speaking privately? Zeiri says she just had yichud. According to Rav Asi, she actually had bia. But the Mishnah doesn't want to use a not nice term that she had bia with someone, but rather a lishna ma'alia, a cleaner term. According to Rav, a woman who was seen having yichud with stam a man is given malchus by Bezdin. In the shita of Rav Asi, that they had bia, according to Rav Yechanan, whatever the status of the mother is, the same status applies to the daughter. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if the mother is kosher, cheskas kashrus, the daughter is not kosher, since as soon as she's born, she has no cheskas kashrus like the mother, but rather there's already a suffix. So she is usher to kahuna and usher for truma. The Gemara says once two people go into a room and have yichud, we can't believe edim, whether they did or they didn't have bia, since we say in ein apitrupus la rais. Daf Yudalek. We paskin like Rabban Gamliel that she is believed. A woman who is an almanas isa, i.e. it's a safik if her husband was a chol or not, according to Rabbi Yeshua, she is believed, and she's kashal l'kahuna, since it's a svek, sveka. The Gemara asks, what is an almanas isa? The Gemara answers, a case that there's no safik mamzeris, or no safik nesinis, or no avadim, but only a safik chol. Only then she mutta to marry a kain. According to the Tanakhama, if you call a person a mamzer or a chol, and he remains silent when he's called it, we say shtika ka'ida, and he probably is a mamzer. But according to Rameyer, it depends on the case. The next Mishnah. In a particular Maisa, a young girl was violated when she went down to draw water. So as long as rave people in the city are kshera l'kahuna, she's mutter to marry kohanim. Since the odds are most of the people in the city are kosher l'kahuna, the violator was probably kosher himself. And the Gemara says, since the girl had a cheskes kashrus, she gets to stay that way. Daf tesvav. When calculating rave people of the city to determine for a rave kosher, for a kosher arrive, we can only count residents of the city. We cannot count visitors as part of the calculation. I fract the Gemara, but it should be just the opposite. Since the local residents are in a fixed place, they all live in that city, we should say, kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami. Therefore, it's like 50-50. So therefore, there's no rive anymore. There's no rive ksherim. But the visitors are moving, because the visitors came into the city and leave the city. So it's called the parish meruba parish. So the visitor should have a stronger rive, since we know kol the parish meruba parish is a good rive. But kol kamechza al-mechzadami is not a good rive. So the Gemara answers, the truth is that we need two different rives to make her kosher. Also here, we do have parish. It's not a case of kol kavua kamechza al-mechzadami, but it's a case of kol the parish meruba parish. Since the woman was parish from the city when she went down to draw water. Therefore we say kol the parish meruba parish. The Gemara says if a city has 10 butcher stores, 9 of them are kosher, but one of them is treif, and someone bought meat, but he doesn't remember which one he brought the meat from. So we say that it's treif, because we say kol kavua kemechza al mechzadami. All the stores are kavua. We don't know, therefore it's mechza al mechza. But if we found the meat on the street, and we don't know from which store it came from, since the meat is parsh, then we say it's kosher, because 9 stores are kosher and one is treif, we say kol the parsh, meruba parsh. According to Reb Zera, once we come out kol kavua kemechza al mechzadami, that's how we're going to end up paskening, we will paskin kol kavua kemechza al mechzadami, whether it ends up l'kula or l'chumra. The Gemara says if there's a suffik tuma, which happens in a rishus hayachit, i.e. someone was boil somebody, then we say that it's tameh. That's how we paskin. We learn this from Saita, that we say suffik tuma rishus hayachid is tameh. But if it's a suffik tuma that happens in a rishus harabim, a sheretz is in a rishus harabim, we're not sure of something, then we say that it's tar. That's how we paskin. The din of kol kavua kamechtzal mechzadami is learned from the Torah. In the question of rive meat stores in a city, the Chachmas Adam asks, do we go after rive of the number of stores in the city? Or do we go after rive of the volume of meat that is sold? For example, what if a kosher store, we have 10 stores, the 9 kosher stores are all small stores, but the 1 treifa store is a supermarket, and the 1 supermarket sells more meat than the 9 small stores put together. So do we say that since the rive of the volume of the meat that's sold, most of the meat that's sold is really treifa meat because it's from the supermarket? Or do we say 9 out of 10 stores are kosher stores, so therefore we say that then it's kosher? The Shagas Aryeh says we go by the number of the stores, irregardless of the sales volume. The Gemara says if we find an abandoned child in a city, if the city is Rav Yisrael, then the child is a Jew. If it's Rav Goyim, then he's considered a Goy. But this only applies to the chiv of taking care of the child. But if it's a girl, in any case, she can't marry into kahuna, because we're dealing with yuchsin. Since for yuchsin, you need 2 rives. But if it's Shabbos, you're allowed to remove debris from the child and be mechal Shabbos. Even if there's no rive, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, because the bikuach nefesh ain holchen achar arrive. So in other words, if there's any question that the child might be a Jew, you have to save him. This is because of the pasuk of v'chai b'hem. V'chai b'hem v'lo yishayom v'spahem. Even if there's a small possibility the child is a Jew, you can save him. You could be takeach olav esagal, and be mechal Shabbos anyway. And finally, the Gemara says that a Jew's cow which damages another Jew's cow, if it's a tam, then the owner pays chatzi nezek. If it's a mu'ud, that it damaged for the fourth time, then the owner pays nezek shalom. So for the purpose of this child, if he's a Jew, due to the fact that we paskin that he's a Jew because of Raiv, the same halachic status of Nezek would apply. In other words, if he gore somebody's cow, the same halachas of Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalom would apply also to him because he's considered a Jew due to Raiv. This marks the end of the first perek. Now let's begin the second perek for the Mishnah, perek Ha'isha Shenes Armala, the Mishnah. A woman who became an almana, i.e. her husband died, or she became a grusha, i.e. her husband divorced her, and the ksuba was lost, so we don't know what she was when she got married originally. She claims when she was originally married, she was a basula, therefore she's entitled to get 200 zuzim. He says, or in the case that he died, the yarshim say, that she was a ba'ula, therefore she gets only 100. if she had gone out to the wedding with a veil, with a hinuma, and there were edim who saw this, or she went out with her hair uncovered, and there were edim who saw this, or that there were edim who saw that they gave out parched grains at the wedding, those would all be simanim that she was a besula, because these were things that they did for a besula. Therefore, she would get 200 zuzim. Also, Rabbi Yeshua admits that if someone says to a man whose father died, your father owned this field, but I brought it from him, and he has no proof to this, so he's believed, since we say ha-pesha aser, hu ha-pesha iter. Why is it ha-pesha aser? He came along and said, you know, your father owned the field. That's the pesha aser, because now the field belongs to him. It doesn't belong to me, but I bought it from him, ha-pesha iter. Now he's saying that it really belongs to him. So the fact, since it was, they didn't know, they didn't know this at all. He was the first one to create this revelation for the children. Therefore, it's ha-pesha aser, hu ha-pesha iter. They found out from him, and therefore they were the first ones to aser it, but they were also the first ones to be matir it. Therefore, in a case like that, he's believed. However, if Edim were the ones who came along and said, you know what, your father, before he died, he owned a particular field. Then this second person comes along and says, you know what, that's true, he did own the field, but I bought it. Then he's not believed, since the sons knew this already from the first Edim. Therefore, it's not a case of Pesha Aser or Pesha Iter, because all he's doing is he's being the Pesha Iter. But the Pesha Aser came from the original Edom. We don't say Pesha Aser or Pesha Iter, therefore he's not believed. We just said a minute ago in the Mishnah that one of the things that would establish the fact that she's a Besula is if she went out with her hair uncovered, Reisha Parua. She went out as an Arusa with her hair uncovered. According to the Prisha, he brings a raya from this Mishnah that an Arusa does not have to keep her hair covered once she becomes an Arusa. Only an Asua must cover her hair. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, an Arusa does have to cover her hair. The question is, does a Kala have to put on a sheitel by her wedding? In other words, she's walking down to the chuppah. Now she just got married. So now does she have to put on a sheitel? She's married. She's a married woman. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, she does not. But others disagree with that. And of course, HaKol Lefi, Tali Lefi, HaMinig, HaMaka. Daf Tezayin. Our Stam Mishnah is not like Rabban Gamliel, who holds that a woman is always believed, Becheskes Besula. But our Mishnah says, Edim established her nemanus. If after the marriage the husband found no besulim, she says it happened after the erison, he says it happened before the erison. So according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabban Gamliel, she's believed because she has a migo, and she'll get 200. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, she's not believed. And the Gemara asks, why does she need Edim? Let's just say that she has a chazak of besula, and believe her stam like that. Or he answers, since there should have been a call of people talking and saying, you know, last night a besula got married, since that call did not exist, there's a reyes of not having it that weakens her chazaka. According to Rav Avoh, whenever a man pays his former wife ksuba money, she gives him a shaver, she gives him a receipt, to prevent her from coming back and collecting a second time. According to Rav Papa, we don't need to write a shaver, a receipt, since the husband can simply keep the used up ksuba. Once he pays the money, he takes the ksuba, and she's not going to come and collect the second time, because he's the one who would be holding that ksuba. If a woman loses her ksuba, she cannot collect anything from the husband unless she can find that ksuba, or she has edim who actually saw that it burnt. The Gemara says when a kala was a besula, they used to bring her a kais shal besura, a cup of wine made from gefen truma, to show that she's a besula, i.e. she can marry a kayin and she can eat truma. Since if she wasn't a besula, she wouldn't be allowed to marry a kayin. Daf Yud Zayin. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad meraktin lifnei hakala. What do we say to this new kala when we dance in front of her? Beis Shammai says, Kala kamayshehi. You tell it like it is, according to her beauty and according to the chashivas of her. That's what you say. You tell it exactly like it is. Beis Hillel says, you always say, Kala na v'chasuda. She is beautiful and she's full of chesed. So Beis Shammai asks, what if she's blind or she's missing a limb? How can you say she's beautiful? It's a lie. And Batira says, Midvar sheker tirchar. So Beis Hillel says, according to you, if your friend made a bad purchase, are you supposed to tell him that he made a bad purchase to his face? We know that a person should learn to get along with all people, to do and say what is pleasing to each and every person. Taisfis says that if a woman has a mum, according to Beis Shammai, you simply keep quiet, or simply praise her for the milas that she does have, i.e. if she has beautiful eyes, you say she has beautiful eyes. According to Beis Hillel, you should always say that she's beautiful, because if you pick and choose certain features, it'll imply that the rest of her isn't so beautiful. The Marsha explains that the reason that it's okay to say Kala na v'chasuda for all kalas, even one who is not beautiful, is because in the eyes of the chasan, she must be na v'chasuda. Otherwise, he wouldn't have married her. In other words, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So to the chasan, this isn't a lie to say Kala na v'chasuda. The words Kala na v'chasuda would imply that the ikar mitzvah is to be misameach the kala, not the chasan, because it says Kala na v'chasuda. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, says that this isn't true, since the mitzvah of Pru Ervu is on the chasan, Therefore, the Iker Simcha is for him. But by saying Kalanova Chasuda, you're making the Chasin feel good about his new wife. So it's Simcha that's being targeted on him. Therefore, even though the mitzvah of Puru was on him, the fact that you're saying Kalanova Chasuda makes him feel good. Therefore, you're targeting the Iker Simcha at him also. The Gemara says in Marava and Eretz Yisrael, they used to sing the following Tekalas, like Echal, Veloy Sirach, Veloy Pirchas, Vialas, Chaim. She doesn't need any makeup, she doesn't need any eyeshadow, and she doesn't have to braid her hair, and she's still beautiful even without all that. Rabbi Yehuda Ba'ila used to take a hadas and dance in front of Kalas at weddings. This was how he was Mesameach the Kalas. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak used to juggle things to be Mesameach Chasa the Kala. And both of them were Zeicha to a special light from Shemayim when they were Nifter. Rabbi Yechanan said that it's mutter to look directly at the Kala during the days of Shavuot Brachas to make the Chasan feel good, i.e. when he sees that everybody's looking at her, she'll become even more beautiful in his eyes. But we don't paskin like this. However, the Ritva says that it's mutter to look at a Kala directly if a person can control his Yetzer Hara and not have bad Hirhurim. The Rama says that it's also to look directly at the Kala's face, only at her Tachshitim or at her hair. The Gemara says if an entourage of a Kala comes, and an entourage of a mace comes at the same time, the entourage of the Kala has the right of way before the entourage of a mace. But if the Kala meets a Melech, then of course the Melech goes first, since we say, Melech Shemachal al Kvaydei, en Kvaydei Machal. Tanur Rabbanan, Mevatlan Talmud Torah lohitzi ha-mace, ulachnasas Kala. We're Mevatl Torah to bring out a mace, and for achnasas Kala, unless they already have all that they need, then you're not allowed to be Mevatl Talmud Torah. And the Gemara asks, what is the hinuma of the Kala mentioned in the Mishnah? One pshad is that it's the chuppah, and one pshad is that it's the veil of the Kala. The Gemara says that there are three parts to Eretz Yisrael, but a negeah for Hilchas Chazaka. Number one, Yehuda. Number two, Eiver HaYarden. And number three, Galil. Taf Yud Ches. The Gemara attempts to find a simple case in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua is maided to the Chachamim that will say HaPesha Aser, Hu HaPesha Hiter. Some sort of a case that's more simple than the case that had already been mentioned in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, sometimes a person must make a shvua on a tainas atzmai, a taina that he initiates. Even though normally if a person initiates a taina, why should he have to make a shvua on it? But in certain cases he does, since in case of maidim miktsas, in a case like that he would have to. But according to the Chachamim, he's like a meshev aveda, therefore he's always going to be putter for making a shvua. In Masechtas Gittin, they were mesakin that a meshev aveda never makes a shvua because of tikkun olam. I.e., the returnee could say, in a case like that where he came, why are you only returning $10? I lost $20. So then the returnee would be called a Maidav Miktsas, and a Maidav Miktsas has to swear, and he would have to swear. This would discourage people from ever returning an Aveda, because a person would figure, oh, if I return $10 and the person isn't happy, he'll make me swear, he'll make me say, it was $20 that I lost, and therefore I'll be a Maidav Miktsas, therefore I'll have to swear. Therefore nobody will ever want to return anything. Therefore they were Masakin, that a person who returns an Aveda never has to swear. The Gemara says we don't make someone swear when the initial taina is from a katan, but if the katan comes on behalf of a loan that was from his father's estate, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold that that person must swear. Rabbi asks, why does a maidim miktsas have to swear? If a person says, I borrowed $100, but I already paid back $50, therefore he's a maidim miktsas, why is it that he has to swear? Why don't we say that he has a migu, that he could have been kaifer bakal? The Gemara answers, since a person wouldn't have the chutzpah to fully lie to a person's face who did him a favor. The person loaned him money. What, is he going to lie completely? But according to the Rabbanan, to the son of one who borrowed money from, a person would lie, since he wouldn't be embarrassed in front of the son. Therefore, in a case like that, you would have to swear. And finally, the Gemara comes to a maskana. The maskana of the Gemara here is that we have no other case in the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yeshua is Maida, except for the actual case already mentioned in the Mishnah. And at this point, we will conclude our shir.